What are some of the clinical research questions that are being asked in trials right now that you find most exciting?
Well, I think one of the key questions that needs to be answered is whether one should continue bevacizumab after failure of a frontline regimen that contains bevacizumab. That's perhaps the most important clinical question that we have in terms of the treatment of metastatic disease. And there are studies in development that will hopefully answer this. One brand of study, if you will be taking patients who had bevacizumab and had disease progression with frontline therapy and then randomizing them to either continue bevacizumab with their next line of attack or not continuing bevacizumab. I think that's a very important clinical question.
What do you do in your own practice, particularly the patient who's had a great response to bevacizumab and chemotherapy?
Yeah, at this point, I'm not continuing bevacizumab with my second-line therapy. Another important question being asked in clinical trials is whether combinations of antibodies, VEGF antibodies and EGFR antibodies, will provide better outcome in terms of progression-free survival or overall survival in the frontline setting. And that question is being asked both with cetuximab as the EGFR antibody as well as with panitumumab. So we'll have that information. A third key clinical question relates to the adjuvant setting. Studies are underway exploring whether bevacizumab or cetuximab should be used in the adjuvant setting. So I think that's incredibly important. And there are some studies now underway, large-scale studies, to start exploring whether treatment can be assigned based on molecular markers in the tumors. And there are now two studies at the cooperative group level that are taking this approach. One is a study called ECOG 5202 in the adjuvant setting for stage 2 colon cancer patients, where the markers being used are microsatellite instability and 18q loss of heterozygosity. And based on these markers, a decision is made as to whether the patient can be safely observed with a predicted cure rate of at least 90% or receive chemotherapy. So that's one study. And then in the metastatic disease study, ECOG 4203, the marker being looked at there is thymidylate synthase, with the hypothesis that if your tumor has a high level of thymidylate synthase, you're more likely to be resistant to 5-fluorouracil therapy. And patients with high TS levels measured by immunohistochemistry in their tumors are getting, as one possible therapy, a non-5-FU regimen, irinotecan, oxaliplatin, and bevacizumab, rather than being assigned to FOLFOX if they have low levels of TS in the tumor.
What do we know about that combination?
What we know so far is from phase 2 data with irinotecan and oxaliplatin that there's evidence of anti-tumor activity. We know that in the schedule and doses used in the study N9741 that the every 3-week irinotecan oxaliplatin regimen when compared to FOLFOX 4 did not seem to be as effective as FOLFOX 4. In our study, ECOG 4203, we're using an every 2-week regimen, which at least in phase 2 studies appears to be quite active, and we're combining it with bevacizumab. Although there is not phase 2 data of bevacizumab with this combination, there's a real-time toxicity evaluation going on as part of this study, so we anticipate that there won't be substantial augmented toxicity with the addition of bevacizumab to this regimen. But if there is, we'll find out when it happens and make appropriate adjustments.